Well, hey guys, it is great to be with you today. I'm excited about this series. We're in really the fifth part of this series. We've already discussed how life can be good spiritually, relationally, emotionally, physically, but today we're going to look at how life can be good financially. And this is a big stress for so many people that they worry about money. It keeps them up at night. It drives them. It motivates them. And I want us to understand God's heart for us is to walk in the place of blessing, His blessing. And finances are a part of that, but it is not the end goal. And so I've got three basic biblical principles that I want you to get, that I want us to go deep into our soul because we know God's heart for us in taking care of us. And here's the first principle. I'm just going to go through these really quickly. Here's the first principle. Number one, we have to know our source. A life verse for me is Philippians 4:19 that says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory." We have to know that we are not the source for our provision. This is a huge biblical principle. Why would we worry if it's God's responsibility to provide our needs? And it is. Our responsibility is to trust Him and walk out the life that He's calling us to be led by His Spirit. And we can know that wherever God leads us, He provides for us. So this is a huge principle. Know the source. Your source for your provision, if it comes from you, yeah, you're going to freak out and worry because you can't control external circumstances. But when you know the God of heaven has made this promise to you, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory." God provides our needs. It's easy to get wrapped up in wants. Man, I want a new whatever, computer, car, house, phone, whatever it is. It's amazing how we allow wants to drive us to the place where we worry. Because God never promised He would give us all of our desires. He promised He'd meet all of our needs. And so I shouldn't be too worried about my wants, and I shouldn't be worried at all about my needs financially, because we know that God supplies our needs when we trust Him and are led by His Spirit. So that's point one, biblical truth. Know the source. Know your source. Your source is God. Follow Him. He will never let you down. The second thing, you have to know what's yours. It's really easy to go to the physical on that. Like, yeah, I know how much is in the bank. I know what I own. But I want you to know something much deeper. This is a biblical truth, not a truth of what you have in the bank or in your hand. Because there's something that's more important than having a bank that is full of money. Like, you have an account and it's huge. That's great. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I want you to know what is truly yours scripturally. And we're going to look at one of the most important promises of God that we see in Exodus 6. And in Exodus 6, God speaks to the nation of Israel who is in slavery, and He speaks to the bondage and the oppression that they are in. How is this fitting for us in finances, and knowing that life can be good financially, that when we follow God, life is good financially? Because we need to recognize that there is such a thing as financial bondage. And that doesn't mean, well, yeah, I'm poor and I don't have any bondage. I'm being oppressed because I don't have enough. Let me just say that I've seen, honestly, just as often and maybe even more often, people who have an abundance, people who would be described as wealthy, also living in bondage. They're a slave to that money. You can be poor, you can be rich, you can be middle class, you can be somewhere in between, and you can still live in bondage to money and finances. But God's heart for us is seen in Exodus 6 when He speaks to the nation who is in physical slavery in Egypt. This is what He says in Exodus 6, verses 6 through 9. He speaks to Moses, and He tells Moses to speak on his behalf. And He says, "Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt." This is a promise you need to get, that God's heart for you is for you to walk in freedom. Look at what He says, "I am the Lord." He doesn't say, I am your Lord, because that is your decision to make. But you've got to know that the Lord has a place of freedom for you. He says, I will free you from what? Oppression, and rescue you from slavery. I want you to know that God's heart is to free you from the oppression of living under the weight of finances, whether they own you because all of your possessions end up taking possession of you, or you don't have enough and you feel like you're constantly grasping. Look, you've got to know that God has a place of freedom for you. He says, I'll free you. Then he says, next sentence, I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. God's place of promise for you, even financially, is to redeem all of the pain that finances have been to you. Maybe you haven't had enough. Maybe you grew up where it was hard times and you felt like you could never have enough. God redeems all of those times, and he turns them around. When you hold on to his promises, you have to know that his promises are for you. No, it's yours. His promises, his place of blessing. That doesn't mean that you're going to be wealthy, but it means he'll meet your needs. But more importantly, you can walk in freedom. That he is your God, that he redeems all of the pain of the past, not just the place where you were financially either in need or those finances were miserable because your possessions possessed you. Then he goes on in verse 7 to say, I will claim you as my own people and I will be your God. You have to know what's yours, a place in the family of God. He's your source. He brings freedom from oppression and slavery. He calls you as one of his own. He seats you at his table at family dinner. You got to know what's yours. Then in verse 8, he says, I will bring you into the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll give it to you as your own possession because I'm the Lord. Do you know that God has a place of freedom? He has a place for you set. He has a dinner setting set. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. Will you open it up? Because if you do, I'm going to come in and have dinner with you. That's just a paraphrase, but it lets us know that even financially, we can walk free from oppression and slavery. That's the biblical truth, that God is our source, but you have to know what's yours, the place of freedom, the place of blessing, the place that God has already set, the place, the land, the place that he has for you. You've got to know that. And here's the third biblical truth that I want you to get. You need to know your place. And I've heard this in a lot of negative ways, you just need to know your place because you're out of place. I think a lot of Christians are out of place financially, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, they don't understand the place and the place setting that God has for him at the table of abundance. Like, I want you to know that you know your place and that your place is not to look like this world. You know, we are in this world. This is scripture. We're in this world. But we're not of this world. And so here's what we see in Exodus chapter 12. We've gone through all of the plagues. You know, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God says, let his people out of this slavery, out of this oppression. But Moses has a hard heart. He won't do it. And so then we see all of these plagues that come against Moses. And finally, the final plague where the firstborn and every family, including Pharaoh's, dies. And then Pharaoh and all of the people, they turn to Moses and to the nation of Israel, and they say, get out. Actually, Pharaoh says this in chapter 12, verse 31. He says, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night because his firstborn died, as did every Egyptian's firstborn. And he says, get out, leave my people, take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. And then the whole nation of Israel did the same thing. I want you to know your place, that your place is not to look like the world. Your place is not to handle finances like the world. It says more, more, more. That if you live by biblical principles, you're either going to bring people to the place that God has for them, or they're going to push you out of the place where you are with them. And that's not a bad thing. Like, you have to know your source. You have to know what's yours. You have to know your place. It's a place of abundance. And so Pharaoh finally says, get out. Because when you start living financially according to biblical principles, knowing God's your source, that you have to do your part. But it is God who's your source, that you know your what's yours, the place of blessing, the promises of God are yours. You'll know your place. And it's not to look like everybody else. It's not to just be an accumulation of selfish wealth. Wealth is a blessing because God blesses you to be a blessing to others. Like, wealth is a good thing. I want you to be at the place of healthy wealth. That means you have been such a good steward and knowing that God's your source and walking into the place that He has for you, that there's financial blessing that comes your way, but you realize it's not simply to enrich you. It's to be a blessing to your family and to others. This is the heart of God. These biblical principles, you know your source. You know what's yours. You know your place is not to look like the world. Here's what happens as you begin to step out and leave the world. It's the same thing that happened to the nation of Israel. God told them, it says, the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. God told him, he said, they asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. And the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably. Do you know that your place is a place of blessing and that everywhere you go is a place of favor, that God is with you? He's your source. It's not you. What did you, like people look at me and like, well, what'd you do to get where you are? Man, I was a good steward of my time. I was a good steward of my talent. I was a good steward of my treasure. But let me just tell you, it is the goodness and the blessing of God that's on my life. I've been blessed financially. What did I have to do with that? I just had to know who I am. And know that God is my source. I had to know that I can walk in favor and blessing. That really doesn't have much to do, if anything to do with me, but the goodness of God. And I know my place. So the next thing that I want for you is to know how to live financially good. Like, if life is good, I want you to be able to live financially good. So here's three simple, just scriptural practical tips. And here's the first one. You have to have faith for finances. You have to believe that God's your source. You have to believe that He's going to provide for you all of your needs, maybe not your wants, but you have to have faith for finances. What does that mean? That means that if you are saying things like, well, I just have the worst luck. Well, I guess everybody else is going to get it, but not me. You are speaking contrary to God being your source and being a blessing to you. Have faith for finances. Believe that you're not going to always be in the place where you don't have anything, that you can't make ends meet, that all you're just always have the worst luck. Let me just tell you, there's no such thing as luck. Not in the kingdom of God. There's a place of blessing, or the place that you make for yourself. And if you make it for yourself and your financial faith is based on your hard work, your faith is in you. It's in the wrong place. Have faith for finances. Believe God and His word to you that He provides for all of your needs, that He's not a God of scarcity. He's a God of provision and abundance. Look that up scripturally. It's just so true. The next principle, the next thing that I want you to go, how do I live financially good? Okay, have faith for finance. Here's the next one. Be a good steward of what you've been given. Be a good steward. What has God placed in your hand? Steward it well. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden before the fall. You know, there was work and labor there. That Adam and Eve were called to tend and keep the garden. The place where God has you, you're also called to tend and keep it. Be a good steward. Be a good steward. And here's the third and final thing. Give generously. Give generously. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God wants you to be a giver and to give generously, but that's up to you. This isn't, don't be a rule follower in this. Understand the relationship that you have with the Lord, that He provides your needs, that He brings you to a place of blessing, that you are His, that He takes care of you, and He blesses you to be a blessing to others. When you recognize that truth, you can give generously. And God loves a cheerful giver, because a cheerful giver is one who's giving in faith, knowing their source. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says this, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But here's what I found to be very true. Those who have trouble giving, they know it's more blessed to give than to receive, but they have trouble giving. It's because they've not received the truth that God really is their source, that God has a place of blessing for them, a place of abundance. I will always push you to dig into the Word of God and trust the Word of God. Let me just encourage you, the first step in giving tithe, give 10% of your income. Oh, that's a big step. Yeah, it is. But if you look at the book of Malachi, where it says that when we give, we're blessed. God opens up the windows of heaven. But don't do it under compulsion. Don't do it because you feel like you have to. When you receive the truth that God is your source, that He has a place for you, that you know that His promises are for you, it's easy to give. It's easy to walk in blessing. May you have faith for finances. May you be a good steward of what God's placed in your hand. And may you give from an overflow in your heart and your finances. So, Father, I just pray that there is a blessing from you right now, that people that are listening to my voice, that they encounter this truth, that you know them and you love them, you have a purpose and plan for them, and your plan is for them to trust you so that you can use them to be a blessing to others. Father, I just pray that we can have faith for finances and trust your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. See you soon. God bless.